Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to continue in our study now next week. Next week when we meet, we're going to spend some targeted time in prayer, in praying specifically for Vacation Bible School and also some of the other needs of this local church. And because we're right on the heels of Vacation Bible School, I'm looking forward to that. I pray you are as well. And we've been getting the word out now for many, many weeks now. We've got signs posted out in different parts of Snow Hill. And my understanding is some notifications have gone out on the Green County notification page on Facebook as well. And so we're going to continue to beat the drum. We need your help. Would you please invite folks to come and be a part of the Vacation Bible School, the young folks. And we would certainly appreciate that. Perhaps you can look out on your road, and if you've been there any length of time, you know what houses that there's young people at, where you can go and talk to your neighbors and invite them and encourage them to be a part of Vacation Bible School. From what I understand, it's one of the major outreach and discipleship events in the life of Liberty Baptist Church. And so we want to continue that. It'd be great if we had the problem where we had too many children and not enough workers. That'd be a great problem to have. And so we're going to pray that way. The title of the lesson tonight is Waiting on the Lord in a Fallen World. And we're going to be dealing with a word that not many people like very much. Much like the word sacrifice, the word patience is not a popular term. But I'll tell you this, patience is a biblical term. It's a Bible term. It's greatly needed in the life of every Christian. Now, many of us would say this, and Pastor James would be one, that we have difficulty in this area of patience. I would say if you're looking at the list that's given there in Peter, patience and temperance are some of the most difficult areas in the Christian life because they're so encompassing. I believe this, it's more difficult in our day to have patience than any other day and time in history. And the reason why is we live in a world today where it's built around impatience. It's built around impatience. You see, we have a time that we're living in where we have immense accessibility. Just talking about cell phones, we're thinking about before that Palm Pilots and organizers. And I thought about, just as we were reminiscing there, I thought about how dumb pagers were. You know, somebody paged you, that thing would vibrate or blink or whatever. Oh, you forgot to turn your pager off. And then you'd have to go find a payphone or a landline somewhere to call the person back. I mean, that's, I don't know. But the world we live in today is built around impatience. We live in a time when communication with others anywhere in the world can take place instantly. We can reach out to missionaries on the other side of the world, even if they're in different time zones, if you agree on a time to speak. Everything is instant except for one thing. The federal government's not instant, right? They take a long time to do a whole lot of stuff, don't they? Unless they want your money, then they're instant. They want you to pay up now. But listen, everything else in this world is pushed to be instant. In fact, the world markets this idea of instant success. How many of our young people are taken by that? That listen, they get the idea that they're going to instantly be successful. They're going to instantly walk in the door and be in the chiefest position and be making the most money and have the most authority. They are sold that every day of their lives. And then when it doesn't happen, guess what? They're like, what happened? What went wrong? And so we have this this area of patience, and much like the area of temperance, patience requires strength and enablement from the Lord, doesn't it? How many tonight would say this, Pastor, I need a lot of strength and a lot of enablement from the Lord? How many be willing to admit that in this area of patience? I'm right there with you. And so Peter continues here in this second epistle, and we read that we're to add to our faith patience. Look there in verse number 5, he says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance," notice it there, "patience, and to patience godliness." It was interesting to me that patience sits right next to godliness. Patience is right next to godliness. How many understand that our Savior, our God, is patient? Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we admit to you freely tonight, we need help in this area of patience. Oh, Father, you've told us in thy word that we have need of patience. Lord, I pray we excel in this area of patience. And Father, help us to see the context behind a lot of things that befall us is because we need to grow in this area of patience in our lives. And so, Father, it doesn't explain everything, but it does certainly explain some things. Father, help us to take comfort in this truth that you're working in our lives in such a way to bring us unto yourself. Father, we are shedding off those things which are impure. And Lord, you're leaving behind that which is right and that which is holy. Lord, you call us to a life of patience. And so, Father, I pray we'd add to our faith in this area. Help us this night, Lord. We pray and ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I can tell you in the work of the ministry, if you serve in any capacity the Lord Jesus, whether you're a preacher of the gospel, whether you're teaching the Word of God, whether you're just investing in the life of others, perhaps in the way of discipleship, mentorship, certainly as a parent raising children and investing in their lives spiritually and everything else, guess what you're going to need? You're going to need a lot of patience. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15 talks about the parable of the soils. And I like to say this is in the parable of the soils, a lot of times it's called the parable of the seed and the sower, but really it's about the heart condition of man is what that parable's about. You see, there's nothing wrong with the seed and there's nothing wrong with the sower, but there's something wrong with the heart. And the difference that's made in the life of a person is where their heart is. And so we find in the parable of the soils the different heart conditions of individuals. And the Lord says this, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest listen and good heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit." But notice this, we often pass over this part at the end of the verse. "Bring forth fruit with," guess what? Patience. Patience. Now, I like to garden, and I've attempted it this year a little bit. And I'm getting a strange thing with my cucumbers. I've got plenty of cucumbers, but I've picked them and they've gone from turning green to orange. I've never even seen cucumbers turn the bright orange that they're turning. I feel like I'm in the fall season. I'm trying to figure out what that's about. I know I'm going to get 5 people that stop me on the way out to tell me what that's all about. But listen, I'll tell you this: in producing in the garden, you have to have, guess what? Patience. Now, Pastor James isn't too good at that. Sometimes he goes out there and he picks the early fruit because he gets so excited when he sees things growing there. But listen, it's required that we have patience. The word patient and patience are found some 42 times in the Word of God. And many of those occurrences are doing this, commending biblical patience. I'll give you one example. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward just the fellows that you like." Towards those who are lovely towards you. No, it says be patient towards, you ready? All men. And you know, sometimes it's hard to be patient towards certain individuals, isn't it? But God calls us to be patient towards all men. We learn from the beginning of this lesson that there's a component of patience that exists when we're dealing with others. And then we'll see later on that we also have to be patient concerning the Lord himself. And so we have two areas in which we're patient. We're patient in dealing with man, and we're patient as we look towards God by faith. And so let's begin, first of all, by understanding what we mean when I say the word patience. So your first blank there in your notes is patience defined. patience to find. I think if we were to find patience, and this is not straight out of the Bible, but as I was looking at these 42 references in the scriptures, here's what I believe we could define patience as: waiting and resting in God's care for us. Patience. Waiting and resting in God's care for us. Let me give you a biblical principle. Are you ready for it? There's not one single point in time when we're out of the careful watch care of our Lord. Do you realize that? As a child of God, there's not one moment in your life when God doesn't see you. See, we're always in the careful watch care of our Lord. I believe sometimes we forget that, and here's what we need to do. We must connect everything in our lives to our walk with the Lord. Now, we're real good at compartmentalizing things in our lives. We have this over here, and this over here, and this over here, and this over here. But friend, let me tell you, everything in your life is going to connect, for the Christian, is going to connect to your walk with the Lord. Patience is not simply enduring. That's not patience. But it's enduring for the Lord. Do you see the difference? Patience is not simply waiting. Listen, you can wait for a lot of things. But listen, biblical patience is waiting on the Lord. And so there's a difference. Romans 14, 7 and 8 says this, and this is the principle. It says, for none of us liveth to himself. You thought, boy, I'm just living my life and doing whatever I want. Well, that may be true because you have free will that God gave you. But can I tell you, if you're a child of God, you don't live to yourself. You live to him who bought you with a price. None of us live to ourselves. And then he goes on, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live or we live unto the Lord or whether we die, guess what? We die unto the Lord. And so the conclusion is this. If you've got a three-step there, the conclusion that seals it is this: whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And when you look in the mirror tomorrow morning, Brother Sam, here's what you say: I'm the Lord's. When you wake up the next day, guess what you look in the mirror and say? Guess what? I'm still the Lord's. And this is the principle. And sometimes we get this out of whack. We think, boy, I'm living for myself, or I'm living for my job, or I'm living for my spouse, or I'm living for, I don't know, any number of things. But the truth is, whether you live or whether you die, you are the Lord's. You're living for the Lord. You see, patience for the Christian has everything to do with this: your biblical worldview. Friend, how do you see the world around you? How do you see this life that you're living? What's the purpose behind it? And you might say, what do you mean by that? Well, turn with me. Hold your finger there. Just look over in Romans chapter 5. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. If I had to have a favorite New Testament book, it'd be split between the book of John and the book of Romans, because those are my favorite by far. But in Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 1, Paul begins speaking about some wonderful things. And he says this in verse number 1, if you get over there. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How many of you say amen? They're glad that being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. You almost sound like you're halfway excited about that. How many are excited that you have peace with God? Say amen. That's right. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful truth. Justified by faith in Christ, because it says they are through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that. And then it says, and not only so, but we glory. Listen to this. We glory in what? In tribulations also. Why? How is it that we glory in something that, you know, the world would call a bad thing? How can you glory in something the world would shun away from? Say, you know what? You just need to live the life of ease. You don't need to have any problems going on. You don't have any issues of life at all. But Paul says here, no, we glory in tribulations. Why? Because what does it say there? Knowing that tribulation works what? Patience. And patience works experience. The result of patience results in experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And so he gives this cyclical process of the Christian life. You say, what is the Lord doing? And then you might ask the preacher sometime, why is all this going on? I don't know all the specifics, but I can tell you some major things. I can tell you, if you're a child of God, that God's working in your life to bring about patience. There's no doubt. God's bringing that forth in your life. And so our hope is based on the promises in person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on the promises and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, for the Christian, our patience is rooted, listen, it's rooted not just in whether things are going well for you, it's rooted in what we know about our Savior. What do you know about your Savior? A lot of times, some of the biggest problem we have is we have a small vision of our God, right? We have a small understanding of who the Lord is. But if your vision's enlarged and you understand who your God is, your patience is rooted in that. Your joy is rooted in that. What do we know? Number one, we know this, that our Lord reigns. Our Lord reigns. You know, there might be earthly rulers, and there are, that God allows to be promoted. You know why? Because promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from the Lord. And there might be folks that are in power in different places. You say, why do I got such a crummy boss? Or why am I stuck with a certain individual running this country? Or you might have any number of folks that you think are in charge. Listen, can I tell you, above all of them, the Lord reigns. I can have a lot of patience and a lot of things knowing this, the Lord's reigning. The Lord's in charge. Not only that, we know this, that the Lord's coming again. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, as a Christian, we're to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, can I ask you tonight, are you looking for that blessed hope? Is that what you're looking to? I love vacation, and my wife sometimes, we like move from vacation to vacation, right? And I love vacation, but I'll tell you what, above all that, I'm looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a time when I close these eyes and open them again and see Him face to face. That day's coming, and I'm looking forward to it. Not only that, but number next, we know that our Lord holds us in His hand. And see, that's one thing to know this, that God's reigning. You know, there was a sect called the Deists. They believed that there was a God that spun this world up, but He wasn't really concerned with what's going on. That's a Deist. Believes in God, just spun the world and walked away, right? But listen, we understand our God holds us in His hands. And friends, He not only reigns, but He has you in His hands. You know what? You're safe in His hands. The Bible says in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's key, isn't it? They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then He says, my Father who gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, for the Christian, everything in your life is connected to your life in Him. And so patience is that way as well. It's born out of us resting in God's care for us. The Greek word that's used in Romans 5 means cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Now, some folks are enduring, but they're not doing it cheerfully. And this Greek word means cheerful endurance. It also gives the idea of constancy. You might think of this, not only constancy, but a modern term, if you want to think of it this way, consistency. You say, how is it that Christian is unrattled? You ever see someone like that? Someone who's so close to the Lord, man, it doesn't matter what's going on around them. The whole world could be blown up around them, and they just seem to be just strut right through that. You say, how in the world is that? I'll tell you how. They've been adding to their faith patience. They have a constancy about them. They have a consistency about them. And we see the truth of the matter that patience will help you and I to be consistent as we wait upon the Lord. Now, I realize as you hear this, you're thinking, boy, I am so short on that. Listen, Pastor James is right there with you, okay? Pastor James is right there with you. And it's a good thing that we have the Lord to strive after, isn't it? We're looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, don't set the bar any lower. Look to Jesus. And He's the one we're chasing after. Not only are we to understand the definition of patience, but secondly, we're directed to have patience. Directed to have patience. God has given us many examples of patience in the Scriptures to help us understand biblically what He means when He tells us to add to our faith patience. When we study the Word of God, here's what we need to do. We need to be careful not to use the world's definitions of these words. In other words, when I speak of biblical sacrifice, I'm not speaking of just giving one's life for anything. You see, there's plenty of people that sacrifice for all kinds of things. They give their lives, their entire lives, to many different things. When I speak about biblical sacrifice, I'm speaking about sacrificing for the Lord. So we're not going to take the world's definition of patience. That means you waited with three people in the line at Walmart. We're not talking about the world's definition of patience. We're talking about biblical patience as it relates to our God and our Savior. And so notice the words in James chapter 5, verse 10, 11. The Bible says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord," now listen, "for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." And you say, "Pastor James, I thought it was that when I received Christ as my Savior, that after that everything would just fall right into place and life would be just a pathway of roses. I thought that's the way it was going to be." And James says, no, you need to look at the example of suffering, affliction, and patience of the prophets. That means all those small books in the Old Testament, when you get to the end or part of the Old Testament, those small prophetic books, you need to look at their lives. And see the things that they dealt with. See the things that befell them. See it how it is that they followed after God and spoke for the Lord. But look at who listened and who didn't listen. And many were cast in prison. Many were martyred. Many were sawn asunder. And you say, boy, I didn't know I was falling down that pathway. Oh, that's the example that we have before us. The prophets that went before us, suffering affliction and of patience. It goes on, he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You've heard of the patience of Job, the patience of Job, "and have seen the end of the Lord." Now what happened to Job? Terrible things. You could say this, he lost just about everything a man could lose without losing his life. He lost his family, he lost his home, he lost his wealth. He even lost his wife, really. I mean, his wife looked at him, said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I mean, those lovely words to say to your spouse in the midst of affliction. I mean, he lost it all, and what happened to him in the end? God gave him what? Double, right? And so the Bible's saying, look at the end of these things. Look at the end of these things. Now, Job had to grow in his area of patience, didn't he? It wasn't just a straight upward ascent for Job. And by the way, any prophet of God that you read about in the Scriptures, here's what you'll find. They struggled through life. And so you think, and sitting there right now thinking, boy, what's wrong with me? Why am I struggling through life? Listen, every person that's gone on before you has struggled through this life. And it's something we must add to our faith. It's a challenge to live in a fallen world. And God understands this, so He gives us all of these records. All through the Bible, we see examples of those who are patient. One of the purposes of those records is for an example. By the way, that'll help you in reading the Scriptures. You're reading through these narratives. You're not just reading historical records. Friend, you're reading about those who've gone before you, who've had to faith God and trust Him for more than they could see before them. They had to trust the Lord for the next step. They had to trust the Lord that He was going to carry them through just like we do. And so there are examples. They've gone before us. And so we see not only patience defined, but we see, as you already have probably marked in there, patience directed. That's your next blank. Patience directed. Now, a Christian cannot excuse his lack of patience by saying this: that's not me. And oftentimes people will say that when it comes in terms of witnessing to others. They'll say, I can do a million and one things, but I just can't talk to somebody else. I can't say anything. And I realize some folks are extroverts, some folks are introverts, and some folks are somewhere in between the verts. But listen, every one of us are called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. And so we can't fold our hands and say, you know what, this isn't just me. You can't say, well, my parents were impatient, so I'm doomed to a life of impatience. You can't claim that. We can't use the excuse, how many have heard this one before? Well, you just know how I am. You ever hear someone say that? You just know how I am. That's saying this: listen, I'm not willing to change, is what that's saying. And friends, we can't use that excuse. Why? Because God has called us to this area of patience. God commands his children to add to their faith patience. James 5:8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And that word established, that means to be settled. It means to be set in. It means we need to be standing on the word of God. Established. Establish your heart. And for the coming of the Lord, guess what? It draweth nigh. Psalm, by the way, it'll be here before you know it. You say, I wish the Lord Jesus would just step out of the clouds and rapture us all out of here. I'm with you. Amen. But listen, I realize the older I get, the faster it goes, and it'll be here before you know it. And it's going fast. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You know, we get turned around so many times in this area of impatience because we see everybody else around us. You know what the problem is? We're too busy looking at everybody else around us instead of looking at the Lord. And the psalmist says, listen, you wait patiently on him. Don't fret yourself about the people around you. Don't fret yourself about the wicked man that bringeth his devices to pass. Don't fill your head and your mind with all the negative things going on in the world. You need to look to the Lord. And so can you see the connection? In that verse, he says, rest in the what? Lord. And wait patiently for him. You know what? There's a connection between patience and us looking at the Lord. There's a connection. If I'm impatient, then that means I'm not resting in the Lord, right? In other words, I've gotten up out of my restful place and perhaps I'm busying myself about trying to figure out how to get out of the situation, right? But he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Further, we see that patience will yield rest in the Lord. Hebrews 10:36 says this, for you have need of patience that if after you have done the will of God, after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You see, the penman of Hebrews is telling us, and we already know, that we have need of this. We have need of this. My wife and I, over the years, have encountered folks at various times that will say to us, jokingly, they'll say this, well, I'm not going to pray for patience because you know what will happen if I pray for patience. And you know what? Just call it something that goes against our grain. We tell them, look, that is unscriptural because the Bible says you have need of patience. And so if anything, we ought to be praying for patience. So to counsel someone otherwise is to go against what the Bible says, isn't it? And so we find patience defined, patience directed, but then number three, something else, patience demonstrated. We have not only the direction to add to our faith patience, but then God gives us examples. One gleaming example I'll just give you, Hebrews chapter number 6. We are told that Abraham demonstrated patience in the promises of God. Friends, if you know your Bible, then you'll understand what the writer of Hebrews means when he says Abraham demonstrated patience. Think about it. Abraham had to wait for the Lord for the promised birth of his son Isaac. And remember, Abraham was 75 when he was called of the Lord, but it wasn't until 100 years old that he received the promised child of Isaac. 25 years later, that's a significant amount of time. And if you read through the Genesis record, here's what you'll find about Abraham, the life of Abraham. Listen, he didn't succeed all the time. In fact, he messed up quite a bit. And that tells us a great truth, and that's this. Guess what? Abraham had to add to his faith patience also. And just like you and I do, he had to grow in this area of patience. Another example is Acts chapter number 16. Now, the narrative in Acts 16 is dealing with Paul and Silas, and they are in a place called Philippi. You probably remember the first time that they arrived there, and they deal with a woman by the name of Lydia, seller of purple. But then they end up dealing with this woman that's bewitched, and everything kind of snowballs after that. And you remember Paul and Silas, guess what happens to them? They're whipped. And they're thrown in prison after they've been beaten and whipped. They're thrown in prison. And there they are, locked up. Now, I want you to understand this. They're doing exactly what God called them to do. They're going exactly where God told them to go. In fact, they tried to go to other places. God said, no, you're not going over there. You're not going over there. You're going to go over here. And so they're in the place where God wants them to be. And what befalls them? They're whipped. And they're thrown in jail. Now, if it was Pastor James, he'd be licking his wounds and upset about being thrown in jail, saying this, something like this. I'd be moaning something like this. Lord, I was just following your directions. I was just doing what you told me to do. I was preaching the gospel. I was doing all the right things. And now here I am in the prison house. But what does Paul and Silas do? Acts 16:25. It says that at midnight, which Pastor and Miss Shannon aren't going to be up at midnight, I can tell you. At midnight, maybe if we're in the jailhouse, we might be. Hopefully we don't find out one day. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Boy, what a testimony. Think of this. Think of this. Here they are at midnight singing praises unto God in the prison house. And Paul and Silas demonstrated patience. In what? The Lord's deliverance. You see, they weren't fighting. They weren't trying to figure out how we're going to get out of these chains. How are we going to crawl through the small barred windows there? How are we going to knock the Roman guard out and be able to get out of this prison house? How are we going to get to that jailer? How are we going to figure it out? No. What were they doing? Praying and singing praises unto the Lord. And you know what? When they did get out of that prison house, it affected those around them, didn't it? In fact, this was a thing that really laid the foundation for the Philippian church. How many love the epistle to the church of Philippi, that epistle of joy? How many love that epistle? That's a great epistle, isn't it? Well, just think about this. If Paul and Silas wouldn't have sang in the jailhouse, you might not be reading the epistle to the Philippian church. But here they are, waiting patiently on the Lord. And so we see not only Paul and Silas, but we understand in the servants of God. 2 Corinthians 6:3-4 says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, the servants of God. How? How do we show the world around us that we're servants of the Lord? How are you going to show other Christians that you're servants of the Lord? You say, by showing up Sunday in the best suit I've got. No. You say, by giving the most in the offering plate, that's how I'm going to show that I'm the servant of the Lord. No. That's not what the Bible says. Here's how. In much patience. In afflictions. In necessities. and distresses. You know, a testimony that the servant of the Lord's servants of the Lord have when they demonstrate patience, it speaks volumes. It's like having the loudspeaker in your hand and crying out the name of Christ to everyone around you because they see and they know. You know this, that the world's going to watch when you're going through tough times. The world's going to watch you, especially when you're going through affliction. And they want to see, do you fold like a deck of cards like everyone else? Or do you have patience on the Lord? Can you go through the afflictions and the necessities and the distresses waiting on the Lord? In this verse, we see not just some patience in the servants of the Lord, but the Bible says much patience. And can I tell you this, that it'll require much patience to run the race that God has given to us. Now, I dare say this, if you get around some fellows in Liberty Baptist Church who've been around for a little bit longer than you have, ask them. Ask them of some of the things they've been through in life. You'll find some good instruction if you'll hang out with those who are, quote-unquote, the elders of the church, who've been around for a little bit, who've gone through a few things, and you talk to them. They'll tell you about some of the experiences they've had. And listen, what a testimony. It speaks volumes. Again, what is patience? Remember, it's this, waiting and resting in God's care for us. Paul speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11, and he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." And he names some things before this, but he says this, as a man of God, he says, "Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience and meekness." In the second epistle, he writes again the same thing. He repeats himself. He says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach," and guess what? Patient. And so not only is patience demonstrated in the servants of God, but we should make note of this also. Patience, we already know this, is demonstrated in the Son of God. It's demonstrated in the Son of God. There's no better example you'll ever find in the Scriptures than looking to Lord Jesus Himself. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then it says this, "For consider Him. Sometimes we don't consider Him, do we? The Bible challenges us, you know, when you're having a bad day, why don't you stop and consider Him for a minute? When you're having a hard time, stop and consider Him. Consider Him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds," the Scripture says. You see, the Lord demonstrated patience throughout His entire earthly ministry. What did the Lord Jesus do? I'll tell you what He did. He carefully rested in the will of God the Father for His life. He consistently reminded all those who were around Him. You just read the gospel record of John. Here's what you'll see the Lord Jesus say over and over again. "I'm doing the will of my Father which sent me." He reminded them constantly, listen, I'm resting in the will of God. I'm resting in the will of the Father for me. This is what my rest is. And so we see patience defined, patience demanded, patience demonstrated, and then lastly, Patience developed. Well, we're not going to get to the last one, number 5. I think I've got a typo there. But we're going to get through this patience developed really quickly because we kind of already hit on it. Then we're going to take some prayer requests. We'll see. Patience is not automatic in the life of the Christian. I wish it were so. I wish all of us would wake up tomorrow and be exceedingly patient, just like the Lord Jesus. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Just have it. You just wake up and boom, there it is. On you. It's on you. Patience. But it must be added to our faith. And by the way, it comes at a price. The question is, are you willing to pay the price? You say, what's the price, Pastor? What's the price? Well, are you ready for it? Patience, number one, is gained through tribulation. It's gained through tribulations. Now think of this. How can you have patience if you don't have anything that you need patience for? How can you add to your faith patience if you don't have any situations where you must wait? You see, the Bible says in Romans 5:3, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience." You say, "Why am I going through tribulation?" Maybe it is. Maybe it is. God's design is to increase you in this area of patience. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I'll tell you what, it helps me to understand that when I'm going through the tribulation. It helps me because it adds purpose to what I'm doing, what I'm going through. I can understand as I'm going through it that, look, the Lord's working patience in me. The Lord's helping me to increase in patience. Tribulation, by the way, gives the idea of pressure. We consider the burdens of life. We consider the troubles that befall us. We consider the persecutions that we face. And all of these, here's your blank, have the potential, that's your blank, the potential to help you abound in patience. Now, I say potential because it depends on whether or not you're exercised by the tribulations you face. In other words, are you going to increase in patience, or are you going to continue to throw your hands up and down and complain all the way through? Are you going to increase in patience, abound in patience? And so if tribulation is shunned, if it's despised, if it's rejected, then patience that God wants his child to have is actually pushed away. Number two, patience is not only gained through tribulation, but patience is gained through trying times. Trying times. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. Did you know that in order for you and I to increase in patience, we must be in a position that requires patience? To try, in that passage, it means this, to test. It gives the idea, additionally, not only of testing, but it gives the idea of purifying. Albert Barnes said, the grace of patience is worth the trial which it may cost to procure it. The illustration is given of this, testing in school. How many say, Pastor, my most favorite time in school was when I had tests? Not one hand in the room. You know, when I went to a test that I knew the subject inside and out, I didn't mind at all. I'd run to that test. Why? Because I was excited. I'm going to get in there. You can give me 1,000 questions. Boom, 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 boom. I'm going to mark them all down, and then I'm going to be smiling on my way out. But you know the times that I went to the test when I was scared to death, when I was worried, when I was thinking, oh, man, when my parents see the F I'm going to get, I'm going to be in trouble. It's most of the time it's because I wasn't prepared for the test. But you know what? When the Lord gives us tests, he's burning away the impurities of our life. God's word tells us that the test that God gives us is more precious. Listen, it's more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. It's valuable. You know why? When it comes out, it's free of impurity. It's stronger faith. It's increased faith. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the, listen, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, fire is what's needed to remove impurities. Fire. The Lord's working in your life, in such a way to remove the impurities of anything that does not resemble Christ. You say, it's painful, Pastor. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But listen, on the other side, as Job says, when you come through the trial of your faith, you come forth as gold. And this is accomplished through the trying of the faith. Lastly, we realize this, patience demonstrated. Patience will be demonstrated as we wait, that you're blank, upon the Lord, and as we deal with men. You'll demonstrate patience. Number one, we need to wait for the coming of the Lord. We need patience for that, right? Right now, all of us are patiently waiting. We would to God that He'd come back right now, but the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. And so we wait on the Lord. And so James 5:7 says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." You know, it just may be this. The Lord's waiting for your neighbor to trust Christ as their Savior. It might be this, that the Lord's waiting for your family member that's wayward to trust Christ as their Savior. It might be just this, that the Lord's waiting for that person across the cubicle, that person that you work with, that person that takes the Lord's name in vain, that person that says vulgar things in your presence. It might just be that the Lord's waiting for that person to trust in Christ as their Savior. See, the Lord's waiting for the early and latter rain as a husbandman, and He waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ." As we live in a fallen world, we all desire for the Savior to return, but we must exercise patience because it is His plan. Number two, to obtain answered prayer. To obtain answered prayer. The psalmist said this in Psalm 40 and verse 1. Can you hear him saying it? He says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. And guess what? And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. We read further in Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Friends, can I tell you that you must demonstrate patience waiting upon the Lord? Persevering prayer requires patience. It requires patience. You and I must understand that we're engaged in, listen, spiritual warfare. There's things going on right now all around you that you cannot see. You have no idea who's after that person you've been praying for. You have no idea the battle that's taking place for the soul of that person. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 7 through 13, we're not going to read it, we don't have time. But you'll go in there and you'll realize this, that Daniel was praying. And God sent His angel. And when His angel showed up, He told Daniel this. He says, "Look, I'd have been to you sooner, because as soon as you started praying, God sent me your way. But listen, the prince of Persia withstood me. And it wasn't until Michael showed up that I was able to get here." Listen, there's a spiritual warfare going on. You say, "I've been praying for 10 years. Hey, perhaps that battle's been going on for 10 years, and you and I are to persevere in prayer for that individual, whoever it is. And so we need patience for persevering prayer. Number three, to endure persecution. 1 Peter chapter 2, 20 tells us the kind of patience exhibited by a Christian and is acceptable to God. In verse 20, it says, "For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God." The kind of patience that's described is not talking about enduring the results of your own faults, but rather suffering for doing what's right. That kind of patience is acceptable for God. And so in this sin-cursed world, Christians oftentimes will suffer persecution for doing what's right. And then lastly, we need patience to run our race, don't we? To run our race. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that patience is required to run the race that is set before us. You remember in the second verse of that chapter how it is that our example, in verse number 2, is of the Lord Jesus. So it says this, look, you run your race with patience, and then you look at the Lord Jesus and see how He ran His race. And He says, you're to run your race in that way, in patience. And you'll be reminded this, if you read the verse carefully, in verse number 1, that everyone has a race, listen, that God has set before you. In other words, every Christian, every one of us, every one of us have a race to run. And God has given each one of us that race. You've got a race. I've got a race. We have a race to run, and God set it before us. When a Christian adds to his faith, patience, James 1:4 tells us what the benefit will be. It says this, but let patience have her perfect work, and here's the result, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, when you're impatient, you want whatever that thing is. Whatever that resolution is, you want it, you want it, you want it. But when you're patient, guess what? You're freed from that wanting. And so in order for you and I to be lacking nothing in the Christian life, patience must be present. In fact, I'd say this, that is why it is wise for us to pray for patience. It is said that an impatient man may move into a house when only the walls are standing. However, the house would be much better when it is completed, wouldn't it? And likewise, for a Christian will be much better for the Lord and for His glory when he adds to his faith patience and allows God to build his life. Let's pray.